Now we turn and we'll read a couple of verses in the King James, 1 Thessalonians, starting with chapter 4, and we'll read chapter 4, verse 15, through chapter 5, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 15, through chapter 5, verse 3. Now we studied preceding verses this morning. The tapes are a dollar. If you're interested in pursuing the subject, you can get this morning's tape. We intend to continue on as the Lord leads. All right, let's start now with 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. All right, now we were stressing that this passage is written concerning those Christians who have died. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. So we're studying about the Christians who have died, and this led Paul into the subject of the coming of the Lord. Now I want you to notice in verse 15, and bringing it into now what we were talking about this morning, this passage is talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, as I go ahead, I know there are many ministers here. I know there's many who preach to far larger congregations than I do, men that have made their mark, that pastor churches of many hundreds of people. I realize that, and I respect your learning. I respect your point of view. So when I preach, if what I say happens to differ, then I invite your thinking. I invite your judgment that whether or not I adhere to the Word of God. Now, the subject of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and part of 5 and also of 2 Thessalonians is the coming of the Lord. Verse 15, he's speaking of the coming of the Lord. We spoke this morning that there will be people who are alive and remain until Jesus returns. We spoke also that in Matthew 24, I believe it is, the Lord said that there would be days of such trouble that if God did not shorten those days, there would be no one left alive upon the face of the earth. Unless God were to shorten those days that are coming, it would be as the flood of Noah again. All flesh would be destroyed. That's how bad the days are that are coming. But for the elect's sake, that is, for those who remain unto the coming of the Lord, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. We spoke also that those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And we pointed out the different verses that speak of what the saints will do when they come. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he appear. Is that Bible? Does it say that in the Word? Yes. When God brings Jesus, the saints will come and appear. We find in the Old and New Testament that this will be the army of the Lord who will appear. All right, just salt that down, pray, and weigh what we say and see if we are in contact. And the exact references are on the tape. You can secure. They cost $1 if you are interested. All right, now going on. We who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them who are asleep. Now what does that mean? Shall not go where? Yeah, into the clouds, that's right. But you see, the apostolic preaching was concerning the kingdom of God. John the Baptist preached that the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus preached that the kingdom of God is at hand. The apostles preached that the kingdom of God is at hand. And what this means here, the saints in Thessalonica were concerned because they thought that Jesus was returning to set up his kingdom immediately. And while they were waiting, there were Christians who grew old and died, or were in an accident or persecuted or whatever, they died, and they were upset. They said, how then will they do when the Lord comes and sets up his kingdom? And that's what, there are $1.50 now, eh? Inflation. All right. Well, if you don't have $1.50, well, would somebody give you 50 cents? If you're interested in the subject, we'll see that you get a tape. By God's help. So, you have had to put their point in their point of view now. When people died, they were sorrowing and they were saying, well, now what do we do with these? And Paul said, what Paul is saying here is we who are alive when Jesus comes will not go into the kingdom before these people who have died, but they will enter into the kingdom ahead of us. Now this is what the man is teaching. We shall not go before them which are asleep. Again, he uses the term sleep. Now the concept is that the saints in the Lord, and as we spoke this morning, it includes both the Old Testament and the New Testament saints. If you'll remember, in 1 Peter 4:6, it says, the gospel was preached to those who are dead. That's what it says. The gospel was preached. And so, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So, when the Lord comes, as we see on the Mount of Transfiguration, there will be not only the saints from the New Testament, but from the saints from the Old Testament. This is my point of view. Now, they today are with the Lord Jesus, but their bodies are asleep in the ground. Praise God. You see, the Bible does not consider physical death to be death. What the Bible considers to be death is when you're dead in your sins. The Bible considers death when you're living in pleasure, because it says concerning the older women who were living in pleasure, said they're dead while they live. Again, the lake of fire is called the second death, but the Bible does not refer to physical death as death, because it is not a real death, because you are alive in Jesus. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. So the body sleeps in the ground, but that body is going to be called forth when the Lord comes.
Hallelujah.
Now that's the coming of the kingdom of God and the entrance of the saints into the kingdom. And we who are alive and remain shall not enter into the kingdom ahead of those whose bodies are asleep, because God is going to bring them with Jesus.
Amen.
Now the Bible doesn't say that. I can't read the English Bible. Now, verse 16. Now, all right, the coming of the Lord. This is the Bible calls this in verse 15, the coming of the Lord. And this morning I showed you the different terms that are used in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians in speaking of the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, our gathering together unto Him. From my point of view, brethren, I invite your Bible knowledge is speaking of one thing. Paul is not speaking of two different things here. He is speaking of the coming of the Lord, the blessed hope of the church. This same Jesus shall come in like manner as you have seen Him go, and this is what He is preaching, the coming of the Lord. Now, bear with me, and I do get excited. All right. I believe what I preach, brother. I believe what I preach. All right, now, listen to the coming of the Lord. The Lord Himself, that's Jesus Christ, shall descend from heaven. Is that what it says?
Yes.
All right. With a shout. Now what's He shouting about? Who's He shouting at? Amen. They preach that
over in Africa, praise the Lord, Nigeria and Uganda. They're preaching the truth of God.
That is the shout of a warrior.
Hallelujah.
And you'll find in Joel, in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, the Lord shall utter His voice before His army. Now, brother and sister, when God shouts, something's going on. Most of the time, you can hardly hear God. You've got to get quiet, turn off the TV, and pray. And even then, you're not sure what you're hearing. Brother, when He shouts, something's up. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. Who's He shouting at? Everybody in sight. He's letting them know God is getting ready to do something. God shall descend. What shall He shout? Probably a whole bunch of stuff. Come up here. I'll tell you what else he's shouting. God's got an army. Brother, he says it loud enough when you can hear it. You could hear God on top of Mount Sinai, because He was blowing the trumpet and the whole thing was on fire and smoke coming out and fire coming out. And the mountain was shaken. When God does something, you know about it. God shall descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel. Who's the archangel? The chief angel, the head angel, is Michael. What's his job? He leads the host of heaven. What's he doing up there? He's leading the host of heaven. Why are they there? Because the Bible says that Christ is coming with His holy angel. And Michael is over them. He's commanding the host of heaven. I spoke to the school of ministry, didn't I, about Mahanaim, two armies. If you're going to do anything, you've got to have two armies. Well, the Lord utters His voice before His army, and Michael utters His voice before His army, and you got both armies going. All right.
and with the trumpet of God. Now, who's going to blow that trumpet? Well, he's got angels up there that blow that trumpet. I'm going to tell you that's a trumpet that you can hear. I believe it's a trumpet the whole world will hear. It's going to be a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. What does the trumpet do? It announces the coming of the king. It announces spiritual battle. It's the kingdom-wide fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. It is God come at the head of his army. Those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, you'll see them come. Joshua, David, Abraham, here they come with Jesus. Peter, Paul, are they in the body? No, their bodies are still in the ground. Abraham's body is still in the ground. Paul's body is still in the ground. Peter's body is still in the ground. You think the Lord knows where they are? You know where your billfold is? Lord knows where those bodies are. You know what Isaiah says? Thy dew is as the dust. Yeah, thy dust is as the dew of herbs. The dust on the grave of the saints is the dew of herbs. You know why? Because it's going to sprout one of these days. You remember Elisha? And they put that man down. There was nothing there but his bones. And they threw a man in that cave and he touched the bones of Elisha. He touched the bones of Elisha. Come back again. Jump back to life. Why? Because those bones were full of the anointing of God. Brother, the thing to do is to die in Jesus so that your bones are full of the anointing of God. Hallelujah. And the Lord knows where they are, too.
That's right.
And he comes down. Here he comes. And these men are already in glory. Already been ruling with the Lord. Some of them for thousands of years they've been ruling with the Lord. The apostles and prophets and patriarchs. And here they come. Rank upon rank. Rank upon rank. Great mountains of fire and glory in the image of God. As far as you can see, legion upon legion upon legion upon legion. Hallelujah. Coming to clothe their bodies with immortal light. Having the power to raise their own bodies from the dead, just as Jesus did. Hallelujah. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up. And he took it up again. And here come the saints to take up their bodies by the power of God. What an army. You know what Joel says? There's never been the like. A great people and a strong. And Antichrist will take one look at that. And the nations of the earth. And what do you think they're going to do? Those people come out standing by their grave. Clothed with glory, shining like the sun, the world of mother be shut. Hallelujah. 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 The saints of God probably will outnumber the people on the earth. Because it's the dead from all generations coming up. Oh, I feel sorry for the people alive in that day that are not Christians when they get one look at that. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, you hear a trumpet and a shout. Oh, brother, you'll be so proud you belong to Jesus on that day. Hallelujah. You'll say, here he comes. That's my group. That's my group of men. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And people got the saints in jail and every other thing, and it beating them down and everything, and keeping them captive and everything. And here they come. And those poor saints say, it's all over for you, boy. That's my group coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, there's going to be some people wondering what's going on that day. All right, now. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I like what the sister said over here in her church. They say, holiness or hell. You know, the old-time holiness people, one old holiness minister, as he was dying, they're standing around his bed, and he sat up in bed, and he looked at her, and he says, be sanctified or be damned. And he fell back dead. And the holiness people believe in holiness, I'll tell you that. It means something to be in Christ. To be in Christ means more than just making a profession of the four steps of salvation. You know, we don't see that so much in America because we got a country full of the lukewarm. But you get over in Uganda, some of these places where it costs your life, or India where it costs your life to be baptized in water. Brother and sister, you don't take the things of Christ lightly. You're going to lose your life becoming a Christian. You end up in jail. Then you know who's a Christian who is. So you get into the affluent nations where there's religious liberty. You got people that call themselves Christians that are living in the flesh. They're not living for God at all. They're not under discipline. They're not cross-carrying saints or anything of the kind. They are not in Christ. They are in the flesh. And we find that in the parable of the 10 virgins. They're all Christians. They all had the lamp. That is the testimony. But some of them had oil and some of them did not. And when the Lord came, they didn't all go. It was those that had oil in their vessel with them. So it means something to be in Christ. It means more than making a profession or belonging to a church. It means that you're walking in Jesus every day in prayer and obedience and reading your Bible. Serving God. Obeying God. Doesn't mean you're called a Christian, you attend church on Sunday, and you're living the rest of the time in the world. It means that you're living as a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be dead in Christ. It means you die in the Lord. And when you live your life in Christ, you die in Christ, and the anointing is on your bones, ready for the resurrection. Praise the Lord. How the weak Christian can't even serve God, going to come with Jesus and take up his body from the ground. It's going to happen. These are God's warriors, this mighty man, people who have served God. The day that's coming, we're going to separate the weak from the strong. Not if you're weak, God will help you, but if you're a lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. Well, the day of pussyfooting around and trying to do as our brother said, you got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the gospel. You're trying to please God and trying to please the devil and please everybody. You can't stand in this day. You've got to make up your mind. The dead in Christ. All right. Now it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now the Greek word here does not mean to ascend. It means to stand on your feet. The Greek word here is anastasis, the verse that's usually translated resurrection. Now, Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Is that right? But he did not ascend until 40 days later. So there's a difference between rising from the dead and rising from the surface of the ground. There's a big difference. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't rise up into the air. He came out of the cave of Joseph of Arimathea and stood on the ground. That's when he was raised. That's what this word means. It means something was reclining or lying down and it stood up on its feet. Now, we hold that place. I read you and show you a parallel passage is in Ezekiel chapter 37 tells you the perfect illustration of what it means in this time of the coming of the Lord. 37 all right on Verse 10 of Ezekiel 37 gives you a perfect picture of what it means when it says the dead in Christ shall rise. The dead in Christ shall rise. The Gnostics, they shall rise from the dead. Doesn't mean rise up in the air. I'm separating the resurrection from the ascension because they're not the same thing. The resurrection is the great act of redemption in which the last enemy is overcome. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is physical death. The types of the Bible speak of the resurrection, not of the ascension. The ascension is not redemptive. The ascension is an act of kingdom power. You see, the ascension does not change what you are. It merely transports you from one place to another. The ascension is really insignificant compared with the resurrection. The resurrection is that which is typified in the Bible feasts and the other great types of the Bible. Never typifies ascension. There's no Levitical feast that typifies the ascension, but the Feast of First Fruits typifies the resurrection. The resurrection is all powerful. It's all significant. It is the adoption. It is the redemption of the body. But what you do after that, whether you fly up in the air or not, is insignificant, comparatively speaking. I want you to think about that, because in the last few years, the ascension has been stressed and not the resurrection. And this is just the opposite of what should be. The important thing is to be raised from the dead. And where you go from that, what does it matter? You have the power of Jesus once you're raised from the dead. And you see, Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. He was here for 40 days before he ascended. The devil couldn't touch him during those 40 days. What did he do during those 40 days? We don't know what he did during those 40 days. But you know, he was busy. He was going around. He appeared to his apostles. I think he went all over the earth. And look, you know, Satan had said, "I'll give you all this if you worship me." And Jesus said, "No." But you see, now he got it the right way. And I think he went out and looked over his inheritance. I think he went out and looked over the peoples of the earth, because that's his inheritance. He had 40 days to do it, and the devil couldn't touch him. And listen, after you have been raised from the dead, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be ascended to escape Antichrist. You're already invulnerable as soon as you are raised from the dead. Hallelujah! Don't think for one moment that God has to have his saints fly up in the air like a rocket to get ahead of Antichrist. Once they are raised from the dead and stand on their feet, they are the greatest power the world has ever seen. And when they go up, they're not going to go up fleeing so they can't be hurt. They're going to go up gracefully, slowly, so the world can get a good look at them. Our resurrection is patterned after the Lord Jesus, because Paul said in this passage, if we know that Jesus died and rose again, that's what he's basing it on. And I'll tell you, our ascension will be like his too. Yeah. And I don't see where he went up. Like a missile out of a submarine, he went up where everybody could see. And he's coming back the same way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! Yeah. This same Jesus. I believe he's going to come back and live on the same spot, on the Mount of Olives, the same spot where he took off. Well, that's the Lord's way. Oh, hallelujah. He's more than a conqueror. He's never frustrated. I'm going to leave, and I'll come back when I'm good and ready. And this is where I'm going to sit. You're right. And that's just the way we're going to go. Grandly. And you heard praising tonight. Wait till you hear the praising in that day. Hallelujah. There's the millions upon millions of saints in glory, glorified bodies, and the anthems of praise roll from horizon to horizon. Oh, glory. And we find it in Ezekiel, verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. Now that is the meaning of the word resurrection. It means to live and stand on your feet. Then you've been raised. What you do after that
is God's business. But that's when the thing has been done. That's when the last enemy, death, has been overcome. That's when you have received your adoption as a son of God by the redemption of your body. And what God does with you then, whether you go up in the air or come down or go sideways, brother, it doesn't matter, because you have the power of God. Been raised from the dead. Can't be touched. You can't be touched. Hallelujah. Praise God. Alright now. And so they not only stood upon their feet, but they were an exceeding great army. It's one thing to have a mob, and it's another thing to have an army. And brother, sister, most of these people have been in heaven for hundreds of years, some of them for thousands of years, and what do you think they've been doing up there? They haven't been playing shuffleboard. They've been learning to be an army. We could see it now. We'd see the tents. We'd see the officers. We'd see the hundreds of years that have gone into the discipline as God has arranged as officers. They're not going to come on the spur of the moment and all of a sudden they know what to do. They're being trained today. They've been being trained for hundreds of years. Hallelujah. Under discipline, they know exactly where to go. They shall not break ranks. They shall not thrust one another. They know. And it's we on earth who are finally learning, finally beginning to understand there are not 50,000 churches. You can go to anyone you want to. You can move here, go into a city, buy and get gain and do whatever you want to. Brother, those days are over. If we're going to be a Christian, we have to know where God wants us. And there's no such thing as a good and a perfect and acceptable will of God. There's only one will of God. And it's good and acceptable and perfect. And you're either in God's will or you're not in God's will. You're either in it or you're not in it. And every soldier that Christ is going to have with him is in his will. It's not going to be a mob. It's going to be an army. And the essence of an army is discipline, obedience, knowledge. This isn't any mob just raised up. This is the army of the Lord. Those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear. Appear to whom? That's right. Then shall ye appear, not to one another, to the world. We're going to appear. That's what it says, John 17:21. When you're one in me, then the world will know. Well, they have to see in order to know it. All right, now. The dead in Christ shall rise. Now, you will see the day, if you're alive and left unto the coming of the Lord. I don't know whether we will be or not. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Once we're alive in Jesus, we're alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Paul says, I'd rather be with the Lord, but if I have to be here, I labor whether I'm there or here, that I may be accepted of God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we're going to learn it here, we're going to learn it there. It doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. There's a continuity between the two lives. We're citizens of two worlds, and the quicker we get that concept, the more we'll be able to throw off the fear of death and be able to go into these countries at the peril of our life without worrying about it. You can't threaten a true saint with heaven. Hallelujah. You leave me here, praise the Lord. You send me out with the Lord, that's better yet. Praise the Lord, you can't hurt. Jesus said, don't fear those after they kill you. Can't do anything more after that. That's ridiculous. All right, now, the dead in Christ, and you'll see them. If you come in glory, you'll see it. If you're here, you'll see them coming out from their graves and standing behind the grave and looking around, seeing, oh, praise God, here we are on the earth, Christians by the millions, all hugging one another and carrying on, having the greatest revival you ever saw in your life, all around in the cemeteries. They're coming out and stand on their feet.
This is a real thing, brother, sister. It is no vague thing that's going to happen in Never Never Land. This is going to happen in Africa and the United States and New York and New Jersey and Uganda and South America and every place else. They're going to see the Christians come out of their graves and stand there alive forevermore. Amen. It's going to happen in this world. Isn't a bunch of spirits. Jesus said a spirit does not have flesh and bone. Brother, your bones are coming out of there. Your bones are coming out. Oh, we emphasized the ascension so much, we lost sight of the fact that the bodies are coming out. If the bodies weren't coming out, then the resurrection's already over. Because our spirit's there already, and when we die, our soul goes. So the only thing left for the day of the resurrection is the carcass. Hallelujah. So that's what's going to be raised from the dead. The spirit and the soul are coming this way. This old body of yours. You say, I don't need this body. Oh, yes, you do. And God's going to save your body. God, we've lost sight of the resurrection. When Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter, he wasn't raised in spirit. The body that had walked the shores of Galilee came out of the cave, brother. The body came out. The body came out. The one with the nail prints in the hands came out. We need to learn the gospel all over again. Thank you. Where's that body now? Where's that body that trudged the shores of Galilee? That they plucked his beard and spit in his face. Where's that body now? Where's that body? That body is on the highest throne of glory. Hallelujah. There's a man above the cherubim and the seraphim. There's a man on the throne of the universe. And he still has his body. And the nail prints are still there. You say it's glorified. I know it's glorified. But Jesus said, children, a flesh, a spirit, doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. Come eat the fish.
Amen.
And eat the honeycomb.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Eat the fish. And eat the honeycomb. I'm alive. I'm alive.
And someday,
this body of yours. You say, what if an atom bomb hit me on the head? What if an atom bomb hit me on the head? Every atom in my body went in a different direction. How did God make that body in the first place? I didn't see nothing around before Adam was born. Just a lot of red clay. And out of that red clay came a man. God knows how to take the atoms and the molecules. And every one of your atoms and molecules got a tag on it. Don't worry. God is not a man. God is the Creator. God is the living Spirit. And He knows the number of hairs on your head. And you don't know them, but He knows them. Furthermore, He knows which one is first and which one is second and which one is third. He knows the number. He knows the number. If God knows the number of hairs on your head, your friend doesn't know the numbers of hairs on your head. There's nobody loves you so much, they sat down and counted the hairs on your head. But God knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. God knows every sparrow that falls to the ground. You don't know every sparrow that falls to the ground. God clothes flowers with the greatest glory, as Solomon himself was not arrayed. And yet there are some that live and die, and they're never seen by a human being. God is profligate. He takes beauty and sprinkles it everywhere. And they don't toil and they don't spin. They don't do a useful thing. They just look beautiful. God knows what He's doing. And He is able to take you, if you get hit on the head with an atom bomb. God says, this atom went over here, and this atom went over here and there. And in the day of resurrection, He'll call them back together.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Because God doesn't see as we see. He knows all the stars by name, it says in Job. He calls them all by name. He calls every star by name. You have any idea how many stars there are in the universe? And God's got them all named. Tom, Dick, Harry, Shirley. God knows. God knows. He's in control. Praise God. And He's coming again.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There'll be some who will be on the earth. Now, this is going to take a lot of faith. People go over this too quickly and too carelessly. They don't realize what's going on here. They say, oh, sure, I'll be glad. I'll be caught up to be with the Lord. Well, if you're caught up to be with the Lord, you're going to have to be raised from the dead standing on your feet first. You don't have to get caught up, you know, with flesh and blood. Caught up to be with the Lord, you know, up around where the jets fly around in the air on a cold winter morning, might happen January 5th, the snow on the ground, you go out and you're froze, and the Lord carries you up into the clouds. You're going to have to be changed first. We say, oh, there's nothing to it. Oh, no. You're walking along, and all of a sudden, everything that is human about you begins to change. Your internal organs all disappear, and you're no longer able to relate to people physically. And right while you're standing on your feet, you become a living spirit, a life-giving spirit. It's going to take faith. Enoch was translated by faith. We think we're ready. The moment that process begins to start, we realize that we're dying physically and we're being actually changed and transformed into a spiritual creation. I tell you what, we're going to be yelling, whoa, 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 not so fast. You can't relate to your wife, your children as you were because you're becoming a living creation. So the people in that day will have to be prepared for that kind of thing. It's going to be a rare privilege to be alive on the earth and, like Enoch, never go by the way of the grave, but actually to be walking along and to be made immortal while you're standing on your feet is no small thing. It's going to take faith. See, remember Lot's wife. And the temptation will be to look back. We have that temptation to look back. You know that?
Right. Yeah.
Say, when I was a boy, I used to go out, and there's the old swimming hole, and all the kids used to gather around. You ever wish you could go back? You ever wish you could go back? Ah, the pressure's on me. Oh, if I could just go back in the woods when I was a boy and things were simple and I didn't have any responsibility. You ever have that feeling?
Sure.
You know what God says? In Hebrews 11, if they wanted to go back, God would have made it possible. One thing we have got to develop in our spirit is looking forward. Now you see, it's a temptation. America right now is on a nostalgia kick. Whenever pressure mounts on people, they begin to think when they were back home with mama and the chickens. See? When I was a little boy and how nice it was. That's right. I'm sure it's that way in every country represented here. It's certainly that way in America. You see the American trying to go back to Missouri or Tennessee and go up into the Ozarks and just get a shack and have some sheep and a goat or chickens or something and get out of the rat race. So you want to go back. You know what Paul says? Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. 45th Psalm, it says, daughter, forget your own father's house. And Jesus said concerning the day of the Lord, he said, do not look back. Do not look back. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. God wants to bring you and me into experiences that are new, that are rigorous, that are different from that which we anticipated. We're in a nest now. We're in a place where we have an open heaven and we can praise the Lord. But the day will come, I'm sure, for many of us when we'll be brought into a place of rigor. As Elizabeth Elliot said, these strange ashes. She worked among a tribe of Indians for a year. Spent all of her time for a year converting their language to writing. And when she was going back for a furlough, she had the translation years' work in a suitcase. She was on a bus. Somebody stole it. This particular tribe, I guess, I don't know, perhaps to this day, has no written language. And you know, the thought comes to you, God, don't you care? I gave my life to translate, to go among these people. She lived in very primitive circumstances, uncomfortable circumstances. She gave her life a year to convert their spoken language into writing. God allowed someone to steal it. It was never found again. These are the kinds of things that we've got to get used to. Then later her husband was killed when she was just young, pierced by the Alcas, lanced through. And she wrote a book called These Strange Ashes, where baby Christians were kept in a nest. We don't know what rigor means. We don't know what it means to walk and to follow the fire by night and just keep our eye on God and walk through the places that are hard and difficult. Things like that, you begin to cry for mama. You know what? Paul was in jail, and he's thinking, he says, I was a Pharisee, I was all these things on my way to the top. But those things, they were profitable to me. I count them as dung. I count them as dung. That's the attitude. Everything we've gained, everything we've done, everything we've known is behind us. We don't go back. We don't think about going back. God has put a vision before us. And that vision is millions upon millions of people reaching out for the light. And God has entrusted you and me with the knowledge of God. Most people in the world don't have it. Brother, sister, our life is over. Our life is over. From now on, we have our eyes on Jesus. And we endure seeing him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this world's going to go crazy. We haven't seen anything yet. And we're going to see the anointing of God coming on his witnesses. And they're going to command destruction. We're not used to this in the nature of Jesus. But it will come before he returns. God is going to empower his church to bear witness with a double portion. And they're going to stand before the Pharaoh of this world as Moses and Aaron stood before Pharaoh, two witnesses, and begin to say, in this world, and this is before the wrath of God, let my people go. It's going to be different from what we've ever anticipated. Gone will be the years of training in the desert. Gone will be our being raised in the courts of Pharaoh. Gone will be everything we understand as God meets us and tries to slay us. These strange ashes. We're going to go directly before the devil, Satan, with the power of God, and smite the earth with curses. That's what it says in Revelation 11. Before the Lord returns, let my people go. Let my people go. Hallelujah. We've got to develop this in us, not to look back. The familiar is going, is gone, and we're marching on. Many of us will give our lives, and we won't give it in fear. We'll give it like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not careful to answer you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has an army marching through the land, and we're going to bear witness in every country. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Gone is everything behind us. Anything that we could have attained, all of our attainment, forgetting. We don't look back on them and say, oh, isn't it terrible? We say, it's dung. It's garbage. We have a vision. And the past is over. And the past is dead. The relationships are for the future. Your relationships, all of them that God wants you to have, are for the future. Hallelujah. When you get that, you'll be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because it isn't what you are leaving. It's what you are going toward. And if you are faithful, the relationship, the circumstances, and the things that you're worried about will be made eternally new and restored to you in glory. You cannot lose because you're being made the manifestation of Christ
And in order to overcome you, the devil would have to overcome the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The past is gone. It's a new day. It's a new day in Africa. It's a new day in the third world countries. It's a new day for South America. It's a new day for Indonesia. It's a new day for America. And we're trying to cling to the past and the old prices and the old way. But it is over. A new time is coming upon us. And God's army going to march straight forward. They do not look back, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. There'll be a day after you see this world in a turmoil you never believed was possible, when the world is saying peace and safety. The world having been softened up, just as Egypt was softened up by the witness, by the two witnesses, Moses and Aaron. There'll be a brief period of safety and security, no wars. And the world will say, finally, finally, we have peace. And God's witnesses that are in tune with God, for that day shall not overtake us as a thief if we're walking in the light. We'll be told of the Lord where to go and when to go. Hallelujah. Two shall be grinding at the mill, working together. One shall be taken and the other left. Where the carcass is, where the slain lamb is, there will those be gathered who live by his body and his blood. Hallelujah. And the temptation will be to look back. Say, what about this? I'm not so sure I'm ready to go. I'm not so sure I'm ready to walk into eternal life. Neither was Mrs. Lot. She was dragged out by the angel. She said, well, I wouldn't have looked back, wouldn't you? She left her sons-in-laws. She left her neighbors. She left her house. She left her home. Surely, God wouldn't care if she took one look back. You know, you can disobey God 1,000 times. And then there's that last time. And that's the one time too many. And Mrs. Lot was destroyed for no greater sin than looking back. When God tells you to leave something, don't look back. Don't look back when God tells you to leave it. And our life from now on will be a looking forward. Oh, I want to get sentimental about my children. I want to get nostalgic about the old ways. Bury it, it's dead. Forget thine own father's house, Psalm 45, pressing on. You say it's a death. I know it's a death. It's going to take this to stand in the days to come. Hallelujah. And when the trumpet of the Lord sounds and the shout, the dead are raised, you're going to need the faith to go where God tells you, to join yourself with the immortal in chains. You can't look back. You can't say, oh, I'm still a man of the world. You have to go forward and draw. And you begin to feel that pull upward. And it's frightening. You have to go forward in God. You don't look back. You go straight toward the slain lamb. If we're going to be able to do that, we've got to start doing it today. You can't develop that kind of determination, concentration, and intensity at the last moment. You've got to be prepared for it now. Slowly, grandly, with the praises. This is the body and blood of Christ in you, drawing you up to the slain lamb, where the carcass is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. If you're not living by his body and blood, you won't rise. Because it's his life which will pull you up so that the lamb will be whole once again. He can't be whole without you if his life is in you.
Amen.
Where the carcass is, thither will the eagle. That's what Jesus is quoting from the last verse, second last verse in the 39th chapter of Job. See, the little eagles that live on the blood
That's what we are. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You're living by the flesh, you're defeating your own resurrection. When the slain lamb comes, you won't go anywhere. You won't be able to jump off the ground. It's going to be his body and his blood in you which draws you up to him. Read the 6th chapter of John. You'll find back to every other verse. He says, and I will raise him up in the last day. And I will raise him up in the last day. He's talking about the bread from heaven. I will raise him up at the last day. That's the resurrection, the body and blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And brother, the world having been softened up by the testimony of God's anointed, the 2 lampstands, the 2 olive trees, the double portion, then when they're raised up, the wrath of God falls. For in the day that Lot went out of Sodom, fire came down and destroyed them all. In the day that Noah entered into the ark, the flood came and took them all away. In the day that the saints left from the earth to be gathered with the commander-in-chief, Armageddon is on us, and Antichrist will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Avarakahasilia Rabahayanabahanarabahashilia Rabahayanabahasilia. Hallelujah. 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 Forgetting the past. I feel that some among us, that's a hard word. It's hard on the flesh. We say, Jesus, you know, my human relationships, I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to be immortalized. I'm not ready to go forward. I can feel a pull like Lot's wife. I'd like to take one more look. I'm not so sure I want to go that fast. God wants you to be sure to go that fast. Hallelujah. So if you would like, I'm going to offer prayer tonight for those who will want to agree with me in prayer that God will take from your life the fear of the eternal, that which is eternal and that which is spiritual, the last clinging remnant of the love of the world, and that's what it is. Hallelujah. It's a flesh and blood attachment. It's understandable. But let me tell you something. The flesh profits nothing.
If you could but look and see the husk on which you live, and could but see the wisdom that you have counted as worthwhile in your life, and know that it is but nothing in the sight of God and the eternal life. Yea, and if you would arise from your circumstance and from that which you do trust in, know that the Lord shall receive you with open arms and shall enter you into his presence and give you the counsel in a way that you shall understand and
yes.
live and walk and produce in
your yes.
Yea, there is an arm extended to you this night if you will but arise and perceive the husk on which you have been feeding and the wisdom which you have received from your friends and from those around you, and you have counted it as worthwhile. But yet in the sight of God it will lead you to destruction. Yea, already this has come upon you, and about you are the things that you did not dream would come upon you. But if you will arise and return to your Father, yea, the living God who did create you, and has been calling you, and has given thee life, and life eternal, you shall yet live.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you feel within yourself that you are ready to drop the light of flesh, hallelujah, and you want to live in the things of the Spirit and put your eyes forward on Jesus, never to turn back. The past is gone. It was good, brought you to this place. The scripture says, forget your own father's house. Forget that which is of the flesh. Forget that which is of the flesh and of the world. It's over. It's dead. And there's a new day dawning. There's a new light shining. The light of the glory of God. In the face of Jesus Christ. And it's an eternal light. An eternal light. The flesh profits nothing. Let God touch your life. And lift all fear. And all This is a continued story. I'm going to let you people go now because I know you've got early class in the morning.
Amen.
Do you love Jesus?
Amen. Amen. Amen.